Oh man, I wish I had a fairy godmother to help me with my fit. It's looking kind of busted right now.
Hey you, cutie with no hoodie. It's your fairy godmother.
Damn, you mean a fairy god me? Because we sound just alike. Am I having an insecure Issa Rae in the mirror moment?
Yeah, whatever, don't worry about it. We got you covered, okay? So we gonna make sure that you are looking hot this winter when you go out to have a ball.
Okay. So what y'all got over there?
Well, I am the Millennials Anonymous DTLR Villa Fairy, say that 10 times fast, and they got you. They got matching sets from Puma, Nike, Juicy Couture, and so much more.
Okay.
All you gotta do is go to millennials.com/shops and click on DTLR Villa, and you can get the savings today.
Okay, let's go.
Now, hurry back,
because my car's gonna turn into a pumpkin if I don't come back on time?
No, Millennials Anonymous is on, so let's go.
Millennial, what? My name is Lisa, and I'm a fucking millennial. Yeah, you know we run the world, right?
I'm saying in Tennessee, I know it's Texas.
I just want y'all to hold it.
That don't even sound right. That don't even sound like me.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the individual guest's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Millennials Anonymous or MAPS Media. The material and information presented here is for entertainment purposes only and not meant to malign any person, place, thing, or group. MAPS Media's name and all forms and abbreviation are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition of any specific organization, product, or service. This is purely entertainment, folks. Now let's get it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Millennials Anonymous Podcast. Yes, it is your girl, Lise Winnie, and I am a fucking millennial. It is season 5. We are stomping all the way into the building. You know, every time we have a season premiere, I have to have somebody on that I really admire. And today, we have Mr. Headcrack himself. We are back speaking to him. It's been a minute. But we are back speaking to him. We talked about everything, okay? We got into the things of the things. The Kalani interview. We talked about the morning hustle and, you know, kind of the rotations and different differences that they've had over the last couple of months. We also talked about his celebrity boxing match. He fought Kimbo Slice Jr., Baby Slice, and he stood toe to toe. Now, this interview is pre-recorded, but he did stand toe to toe with him. He did really, really well. I don't have the stats in front of me, but he did really, really well. But they didn't give it to him. They gave it to Baby Slice, but he did it. He did the damn thing. I would like him to come back to talk about what that was like. You know, once you do, it's different from doing it. But once you do something to see whether or not it's something that you really want to do again, to see like, yo, probably wouldn't do that again. Oh yeah, I think I want to fight everybody. So we got to have him back at some point. But we talked all the things. We didn't talk stand-up comedy, which he is also a stand-up comedian. We did not talk about that. But we'll have him back at one point and we'll talk about it. But we have so many things going on in general. Happy Pride Month to all of my good folks out there celebrating Pride, okay? June is Pride Month. It's been Pride parades all over the place doing it, okay? They are absolutely doing it despite some of the states. I don't know, was it Florida or was it Texas? It's one of these states that actually wanted to make it like a misdemeanor to bring a child to a Pride parade. Because we don't have nothing else to worry about for children. Like, absolutely nothing. Like, this is the primary focus to make sure that little Johnny doesn't see the pride. Like, of all the things, this is your issue. This is what you're worried about. Okay. Yeah, I think we got bigger fish to fry. Johnny is dodging bullets in school, but we worrying about him seeing somebody in a boa. We gotta fix it. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it. And we also are celebrating Juneteenth. This is the first time we really are getting like this federal holiday. Shout out to all my people in the federal government that's home right now. Okay, celebrating Juneteenth. And if you don't know what Juneteenth is at this point, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I really want to kind of like slap you a little bit, because go get a book. Anytime Walmart is selling ice cream, they selling do-rags out here and all of that. They sell. No, we need y'all to know what it is. And I know a lot of my good people is out there like, no, we can't have them Cinco de Mayo all day. The good folks down in Galveston, Texas have been fighting for a long time to make this a reality, to get more people to recognize this day, because there's a lot of days we could probably celebrate for freedom in this country. You know what I mean? Black people wasn't free back in 1776. We just wasn't on the 4th of July. We just wasn't free. It wasn't for us. The land of the free and the brave only applied to white men. So it didn't apply to us, okay, at the time. So we could probably, of course, celebrate Juneteenth. Why not celebrate Juneteenth and have more people understand and recognize what that is? Not to mention, maybe when they let the people go in the Japanese internment camps. Maybe we could celebrate that too. Mm-hmm. Yep, we could do that. I would say we could celebrate the freedom of the Native Americans, but it's, I don't know if, I mean, we still on their land. So I'm not sure how we fix that. And then a lot of y'all still is mad about the Keystone Pipeline, which was going directly through their land. Like, that's all, well, technically all of it's their land. But aren't they considered a sovereign nation of their own? I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I really don't know. But we do need to celebrate Juneteenth. And more people need to know about Juneteenth and what Juneteenth is. I don't want less people to know about it. I want more people to know about it. That's just me. That's just me. So happy Juneteenth. Put the fist up in the air. Happy Juneteenth. And then we also have Father's Day or Father's Day. It depends on where you're from. Okay. You might put a V in father if you from where I'm from. But happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there. Happy Father's Day to the dad who don't really spend no time with his kids, but he do live in a house, okay? Happy Father's Day to you too, okay? Happy Father's Day to all the dads who are providers, but not necessarily like fathers. You know what I mean? Happy Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day to the overly involved father that's living vicariously through his son playing sports because he didn't make it. Happy Father's Day to you too. And happy Father's Day to all of the good fathers out there and the great fathers out there and the father figures and the stepdaddies. When I tell you, if you have a good stepfather, a lot of us didn't, get that man an extra steak, okay? Give that man, do you know how hard it is to be a father? You know how hard it is to be a parent and how much harder it is to be a parent to somebody else's kid? What? If we don't give these, they need a man K. We gonna create a man K. Instead of a bouquet, they gonna get a man K. Maybe they want some flowers too. Maybe we need to do a little extra for daddy. Cause I feel like daddy just gets sex. And maybe he don't want that. You know what I mean? Like, I've been seeing a lot of fathers who've been saying that this is what they get. And I'm like, no, we can't just have this. Take him out to eat. You know, let him get a massage. Something. Don't buy your dad a tool. You've never seen him fix anything in the house ever. Like, I mean, y'all rent that. Like, you, what? Stop. We need to make sure that we doing something for daddy. Let's do it for daddy so that daddy feels appreciated like mommy feels appreciated. Even though I'm not going to lie, and this is maybe me just being a little biased, but I feel like moms do a lot, okay? But fathers do a lot too. And there are some fathers out there that are single fathers that are taking care of the kids all by themselves. So we will not ignore those fathers either. And happy Father's Day to the zaddies, okay, that have already raised their kids, but now they out here providing for some woman or man who is from a fatherless household. So happy Father's Day to you too, okay? Happy Father's Day. So we're gonna get to this interview. It's a lot going on out here in these streets politically. We're not gonna have millennials minutes today, but we will talk about it because inflation is high. All right, and I want to break down to y'all what that actually means, because a lot of y'all don't really get it. So I'm gonna talk about it. And we got to talk about all the shootings that are going on out here in these streets. It's a lot. Something in the water was here in D.C. and there was a shooting. Someone was killed. An officer was wounded. Like, it was a whole thing after that festival let out. So we'll talk about it. But for now, I got to get to the interview with Mr. Headcrack, because I know that's what you came for. And if it is, welcome. The meeting has started. Welcome. Welcome. Yeah. And my mic was unplugged the entire time. I didn't realize it until it was done, but it's okay. We gonna make it work. Let's do it.
So, I am excited. I'm back for the second time. So it was last time I think I spoke to you, it was in 2020.
Okay.
So we had, it was a lot more people. It was four of us. Now it is just one. It's the lone survivor.
Like Squid Game.
It is. It is very much like Squid Games, which we'll talk about in a minute. And lately, these days, you've been looking like you could kick somebody's ass. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I am, by the time people see this, I think this is dropping on the 20th. So
yes.
I've been training for a fight, which is taking place June 11th. So we're speaking about this in future tense. So I just got finished, whooping Kimbo Slice Jr.'s ass, celebrity boxing. It was quite the vibe. Been training since January. And man, I've never felt better.
Have you always been this physically fit? Is this what you do?
I've been saying this a lot lately because someone said it to me and it really rang bells. But like when you find a sport that you're really supposed to be doing, your body will react appropriately.
Okay.
And I've been trying to get in a certain type of shape for a long time. And boxing has gotten me into the shape that I've always wanted to be in.
Okay.
You know, because I've always had trainers. I've been going to the gym 3-4 times a week. You lift your weights. You do your cardio. But it's something about this boxing training that has, like, you know, got me chiseled in all the right areas.
I've heard people say that about boxing. Now, I would never want to get hit in the face, but I wouldn't mind training to get hit in the face. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense because a lot of people who do go to this particular boxing gym that I go to, most of these people have no ambitions of stepping in the ring, but they'll do the boot camps to where, like, you know, they're punching the bags and just doing the cardio and the hit stuff. And, but yeah, no face shots, you know, body shots. They're just, you know, just doing the physicality of it all. And everybody seems to be in a great mood because I think too, you need ways to like, let that frustration, you know, seep out of your soul.
It make you feel bad though. It make you feel like you a badass. You know, everybody bad. Mike Tyson said, everybody bad until you get hit in the face. I mean.
Absolutely. And I've been punched in the face quite a few times over the last few months. Yeah, because you have to know how it all feels.
So wait a minute, how that work? Do you stand there and like your sparring partner just hit you in the face or does it just kind of like happen?
I mean, the key is to try to not get hit in the face, but but when you're training for it, you're training like it's the fight, right? So in the fight, you're going to get hit.
True.
You know what I mean? So you got to know what it feels like to get hit. You have to know how it feels to hit another person back. And it's not like how it be in the movies, like when you hit somebody, you be like, yeah, it's all good. Like, no, later you go on, your hands will hurt. You know, like all the other parts of your body that took shots will hurt later. Like, there's been times where I've left the gym and like 12 hours later, I felt like I was in a car accident.
Ooh, okay.
But
yeah.
That's, you know, pain is weakness leaving the body. So the more and more you do it, the more and more, hopefully, you get used to it.
Yeah.
And,
did you shit your pants when you found out Kimbo Slice? Because Kimbo Slice, that's Baby Slice. I mean, did you panic? Did you know it was Kimbo Slice Jr.? Or are you like, I got this.
He's not his dad, right? You know, like, Kimbo Slice
is... he got daddy jeans.
I mean, don't we all? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, shoot. True. Like, everybody thought Michael Jackson's kids was going to be, you know...
Okay.
You know, he got great jeans. But also, right. People say those are not his kids. But that's neither here nor there. But the...
We're going to leave that alone.
But at the end of the day, I wasn't afraid because, like, at the end of the day, like, we're all mortals. We're all human beings. So, like, you have good enough chance to beat me as I have good enough chance beating you.
That you is know? Very true.
Miracles and upsets happen every day. David whooped Goliath. Granted, he had a weapon. But,
yeah. You know. Yeah, don't bring that with you. Don't bring that. You will get disqualified.
Yeah, you'll be DQ'd. You know, you can't bite the ear unless you try to, like, have a fight in early. But at the end of the day, I wanted something that was going to challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's somebody who I knew wasn't really bringing nothing to the table, where's the challenge for me?
True.
You know what I mean? So, like, this has really pushed me to do and dig deeper than I had to dig in a long time for anything. Because, like, I mean, everything else has been, like, mental boxing, you know?
Okay.
It's been, like, rap battles or just conversations and things like that. But the physicality of it all, it's a different monster. And I'm glad I stepped in.
Did they approach you? So it was like, hey, do you want to do this? Or were you like, I'm interested. I think I might want to try it.
I had my manager reach out to get the ball rolling, right? Because I've been watching celebrity boxing for years, right? Like, because the same people that put this on, they was doing this like way back in the late 90s on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But then they kind of went, you know, underground for a little bit. And then when they started coming back, I started seeing some of the lineups. And I was like, yo, I could do that. I could whoop that person. Well, damn, that person didn't take it seriously. I would take it really seriously. So my manager reached out. Next thing you know, we got a call back. And like Kimbo Slice wasn't the first name. There was other people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Initially, I was supposed to fight. But, okay. You know, they backed out. Then other people who I was interested in fighting was like, nah, dog. You know what I mean?
And you're
then
scary, also, you scary.
I mean, like, I'm the guy from TV. Most people would be like, I'm too nice. But, you know, everybody got an off and on switch. I mean, everybody thought Will Smith was nice. But everybody got a little demon in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And most of the spaces and places I operate, there's no room for the demon to be. You know what I mean? Like, I'm on the radio. Like, I can't be an asshole on the radio. I mean, you can be, but...
We're going to talk about that. We're going to get in it. Because, it's been some stuff.
Oh, like, I'm here for all the shenanigans. Let's talk about it all.
Since you brought it up. I mean, You had brought it up. Last time I spoke to you, the Morning Hustle was getting started. Like, right. It hadn't happened yet. It was coming. I mean, you had similar to what I had. It was sort of like Squid Games, The Sole Survivor. Like, what happened? Where, because, like, you had, you know, Billy Sorrell, and it seems like it kind of, like, dwindled. Is it that they didn't want to do it anymore, or?
It's not really that as much as it was. They had the company had their own ideas of what they wanted to try to do.
Okay.
And they were trying to, like, take some ideas that they already kind of had for something that they was trying to build and merge it with something that I was trying to build.
Okay.
And the thing about me is I can work with anyone.
Okay.
You know, I'm just that kind of person. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you put me in any environment, like even if we're trying to make a car and I have two triangles, a hexagon, and a spear, I will figure out a way to make this car roll. I really will. But at the end of the day, like, you know, some people got in their own way or some people just had like personal issues that just kind of made it difficult for them to do the job that was being asked. And then some people were in a position where like, hey, listen, I don't necessarily have to do this and I can go do these other things that truly bring me joy.
Okay.
And, you know, so that was why another person exited. And then there was another person who I just knew from day one, you're not going to be here long.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, so now it's down to me and L'Oreal. And every now and then we have like, you know, a couple of different people like fill in. But I mean, once again, I could work with anybody.
Would you bring Eva permanently?
Would I bring Eva permanently? I wouldn't be mad at that, you know, because like initially when I was trying to like launch this show, like she was on my short list of people who I wanted because we had a great vibe, you know, when we was doing the Ricky Smiley Warner show together. So I wasn't opposed to that at all, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And we actually had her fill in for a week and she was great.
Yeah. So I do want to ask you that because I think that some issues popped off with Eva and L'Oreal about Kevin Samuels. Like, people really weren't happy about the reporting. Do you feel like we as media people automatically are villainized by the way that we approach it? Or do you feel like sometimes we are trying to go viral and things don't necessarily come out good? Like, what do you think?
I definitely think there's a little bit of that. And like, I missed that complete wave. That must have been from their podcast. Podcast they do for Macy's. Undressing Room. That must have been for the Undressing Room podcast. And the thing is, all right, so these statements were made while Kevin Samuel was still alive, all right? And this is just me, like, just assuming I'm pretty sure I know what the conversation was about, but while Kevin Samuel was alive, everyone wasn't showed him the same love they showed him when he died. Like, he was like a villain. To many people.
To many people. I mean, men, let's be real. A lot of black men, he was their hero, not necessarily a villain. They looked up to him.
And it depends what kind of optics that you look at these people with, because I got it. Like, this wasn't who this guy truly was.
Yeah.
It was a character. It Agreed. Was some strong opinions dialed up to 100, right? Okay. And because that's what makes people talk. You know what I mean? If you come through and you tell everybody all the nice things that they want to hear all the time, that doesn't necessarily always move the needle. You know, sometimes you got to like create outrage to get the conversation going to help your content be viral. Kind of like a Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing Rush Limbaugh truly believed all the things he said. I don't really listen to much Rush Limbaugh, but I understand the character archetype, right?
Okay.
Because people understand that controversy gets retweets. It gets reposted. People get mad. Oh, did you see what this guy said? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let me see what he's going to say next.
Okay.
There is something about culture at large that people love controversial figures that say, not necessarily the wrong thing, but things that, you know, are the opposite sometimes of popular opinion. And when you be able to, like, you know, be able to do that ice skating thing mm-hmm. and do it perfectly to where, like, you could do it but not get canceled, there's mm-hmm. a supreme brilliance to it. And I feel like Kevin Samuels really mastered it and knew exactly what buttons to press to trigger all the right people.
I agree.
And then when he passed, everybody's like, got him on the Church fans now, like how they used to have him with Harry Jackson.
Well, he Kevin said Samuel it.
Tattoos.
He said it 4 years ago. They have him on live saying that he doesn't do much, you know, going after men because men didn't want to hear that. They wanted to hear him going after women, particularly black women. And so that's what he did.
And that's the crazy thing about guys, too. If Kevin Samuels was saying the same thing to guys mm-hmm. and he's saying to women, we just wouldn't listen to Kevin Samuels because we don't like to be told nothing. Right?
Facts.
But women would be like, oh, hell no. I'm going to send a whole all caps post right under your joint. And when you understand that and you understand the psychology of how people work, you know how to play the game properly. And Kevin knew how to play the game. And it just sucks that he passed on the same week that he appeared on Atlanta. Because I felt like, man, he did a great job on that. And that could have been the beginning of more acting and more opportunities for that brother.
Yeah, I think that it could have been, and maybe we may have seen a different side of Kevin saying, I don't agree with shit he said, so I don't want people to start that. I do not agree with Kevin Samuels at all. Nothing he said. But again, he passed away. It's very, very unfortunate because he was very young. I don't wish that on anyone.
Yeah, you got to leave those gas station penis pills alone, guys.
Yeah, well, he said it. He said it. I didn't say it. I just want y'all to know that came out of his mouth.
I'm just saying, but like, you know, because like there's so many people who are having heart attacks young.
That's true.
And we are just taking, using, doing whatever.
Right.
Without any, you know, fact checking or knowing what really works with your body. And then I'm not saying that's what killed him, but like, you know, like, but the optics.
We eat shitty. You know, that's our culture. Of course, it came from slavery, and that's how we had to make the food taste good. So we season everything, but we don't eat great. So yeah, that's
the biggest problem I have with the FDA, because they make a lot of things illegal, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that can kill us that are constantly on Front Street for us to purchase.
Oh, yeah. McDonald's is... We should have been... He should be on, like, death row. Like, Ronald McDonald, probably he should be on death row right now.
I mean, everything in moderation, but, like, true. I mean,
but really, is McDonald's that good? Like, if you truly, as an adult, mm-hmm. sit down and eat a McDonald's burger, don't you feel regret, like, instantly? Like, man,
no, I wish I could say that. However, when
really?
Yo, because I've had McDonald's in the last, like, month or two, right?
McDonald's used to be it.
The little tiny cheeseburgers are perfect. They are so perfect. They're like they barely qualify as a hamburger. They're slightly bigger than a White sure. Castle burger, but I don't know. I never feel bad when I eat those because like it's in moderation. It's a small portion. It's like not like a double quarter pounder with cheese or two Big Macs.
See, that's why I'm fat. I would get the double quarter pounder.
On it. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
Because for me, my Achilles, my kryptonite food is pizza. And I don't feel bad when I eat it. However, if I'm not eating gluten-free pizza, like, it shows up on my belly immediately, right?
Okay.
And then, yeah, and like...
Are you gluten-free? Is that... Do you have...
Yo, I did a whole series of tests, right?
You know,
with this one, like, wellness doctor. And, like, and I paid for the most expensive test that one could get. And the crazy thing is, like, my two biggest, like, not external allergens, but internal allergens, gluten and ginger, which is whack because I use ginger to, like, help my voice. But however, my intestines don't like it. And I don't notice anything, you know, outward when I drink ginger, but I guess maybe it inflames my intestines a little bit and it might help bloat me a little bit.
Oh, that's crazy, because I know ginger helps with your stomach. But mm-hmm. speaking of viral,
right?
You did go viral with Miss Kalani.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Like, did something happen? Because, like, I've watched so many interviews. I'm a fan of hers. I absolutely love her. And she seems like the most down person. Did something happen prior to her actually coming into the studio?
I mean, I'll tell you like this, right? So we've interviewed Kalani before on Zoom. Great interview. She was cool, very cool. So I was, you know, like, anytime I interview people prior, I'm always looking forward to picking up right where we left off, right? Because that's the type of person I am. I feel like, you know, the type of interviews I like to try to do is I like to try to, like, you know, starts off as an interview, hopefully we leave as friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? So with this one, when she came in, I could tell she was a little down or something. I was like, hey, you all right? She's like, yeah, I'm just really tired. Da, 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 da. And I think, you know, she also got there like a lot earlier than she should have.
Okay.
Because like the interview was supposed to be at like 9:45, right?
Because
we like pre-recorded the last little part of our show so we could start her early because we had her and 9:40 from 9:45 to 10:15, and then we had LMA from 10:15 to 10:45. So
got you.
We had to run at a very effective shift. But like I started seeing her people as early as like 8. And I'm like, wow, that's early, you know, like, and I even said told the producers, like, yo, make sure they're good, you know, if they need water or anything or, you know, food, whatever. So when she came in, you know, and I also know too, she's not really the biggest in previous years, I was told that she doesn't really like doing a lot of interviews, right?
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Okay.
Yeah, you know, so, like, understanding that and being weaponized with that, and I wouldn't even say weaponized with that information, but knowing that information, I always like to try to make meet people where they are, make mm-hmm. them feel as comfortable as possible. So in my research, I saw that, you know, in an interview she did with Sway, where she was talking about how, like, you know, pronoun-wise, she identifies as they, she, and her,
mm-hmm.
right? And to be completely honest with you, I think all that stuff is weird, unique, and okay, this is where we are now.
Okay,
society.
Okay.
You know, here I am, an adult, asking you to call me head crack, okay? As crazy as I may find it, I get it, I understand it, and I will meet you where you at, because, hey, you know what I'm saying? Okay. It is what it is.
Okay.
So, me being me, I wanted to, like, you know, on the way in, let mm-hmm. you know that, hey, I've done my research, I know what you like to be called, and like, hey, I'm here to meet you and greet you where you are. So I was like, yo, they are in the building. She is with us. Her name is Kalani. Boom. And then from that moment on, it seemed like, you know, it was already like medium energy from her dipped even lower. And I think the assessment is that I was making fun of it, which mm-hmm. I truly wasn't. If you know me,
mm-hmm.
no, I was like, if I'm going to make fun of something, I'm going to make fun of something. And I introduced her with the same energy that I would introduce anybody.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And I think she took it wrong. And while I'm still trying to figure out what the hell's going on, because, you know, like, sometimes people get text in the middle of an interview or something that doesn't go right, you know, whatever, or somebody does something in the room. There's a lot going on. So, I'm thinking that it's anything but this.
Right.
Or what I said, right? Because,
right.
like, hey, like, I did the research. These are the things that are actually in your social media handle and profile. So I didn't want to disrespect you by not, you know, identifying
right.
what that is. But even, you know, like, but even people in the comments, like, you know, I was looking at the comments and people were like, yeah, you were making fun of it. I was like, nigga, no, it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And you could only reply that back to so many times, you know, so many people before you'd be like, all right, I don't got time to fight and wrestle with all y'all.
Right.
I know my intention. and God know my heart. So, and then even two, like, you know, I listened to the album, which is a good album.
It's a great album. Yes.
Great album. She's a talented artist. I like Kehlani. I really do. And like, you know, when we were asking questions about the album, she like, you know, like one answer, you know, one word answered us.
I noticed that. That's why I wasn't sure if you guys had beef. Like, did something, like, did you get into it be prior to?
No, like I said, like she came in and her energy was just a little down from what I was used to seeing it. And, you know, like, you know, and I'm just, you know, trying to pick up your vibration so we can have a great interview. And
did you reach out afterwards? Like, did you say, hey, you know, like, I'm sorry.
Yo, like that left such a bad taste in my mouth that I almost didn't want to do the next interview because I am a people person. I'm an energy person. I'm somewhat of an empath. So it the energy in the room was just bad.
I could see that after
that. And then, you know, and then like L'Oreal asked a couple questions that like, you know, rub the streets the wrong way too. But by then everything was on the tape. It was all, it was all par for the course.
Okay.
But, you know, at this point we could ask what's your nipple shape? And like, because it was just already bad. So it wasn't like, I did the pronoun thing, and then she immediately asked, are you scissor and scissor? You know what I mean? Like, a gap of time was there. A bunch of other questions were asked and attempted. Any other interviewer would have been like, all right, this interview's over. We done. But because we're just trying to figure out what the issues here, we kind of continued to flesh it out, you know? And then even, too, like, you know, people was like, you said you do your research, but you didn't even know that she was dating 007 Shake. And it's like, yo, I prefaced it with like, yo, like, you know, because when L'Oreal asked what she asked about SZA, I was like, yeah, like I saw on Reddit that they're saying that you and 070 Shake might be a thing. What's up with that? And then she like kind of non-answered that as well. And then all of her fan base is like, how did you not know that? Here's the thing. I don't care about people's relationships. I really don't. Like that's, I know there's a lot of interviewers who
go there,
who that's their thing.
Right.
And that's great. But me, I like to humanize people through their art. And my approach in the interview was to take things from the album and dive a little deeper within that. But when you're giving me nothing.
Right.
You know.
I picked up on that immediately. That it seemed like your line of questioning was a lot more music focused. I did pick up on that. You know, so I know that's who you are. That's typically how you handle it. Like you don't get down. I mean, you've asked the questions, but you don't necessarily get down in the nitty gritty, that raunchy. Do you think that's the problem with media and why we're looked at that way? Because now it is that viral moment where you do have to go viral. I'm not picking on anybody, but there are some platforms where that's their thing.
Yeah, no, there are a whole lot of platforms that, yeah, like they aim for like having the viral moment. And if that's your thing, fantastic. But I'm not here to create a viral moment at the expense of an artist, you know, like.
Because you guys did go viral, but it wasn't intentional. Like, that's not what you were trying to do.
Yeah, that's not what I set out to do at all. Like, actually, between the two interviews, I thought that was going to be the most fun.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was the opposite of fun. Like, I wanted to go home after that. You know what I mean? Okay. And then and I don't even have to be online to tell when people are saying some hateful shit about me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel it. Like, it's a strong disturbance in the force.
He's like, I can feel it.
Yo, and my weekend was off all weekend. And, like, my manager's like, yeah, it'd probably be best if you stayed off social media this weekend. I'm like, yo, what the fuck's going on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
they was killing you. I'm not going to lie. They was killing both of y'all.
Yeah, but there was a lot of people who had our back, too. And I appreciate that. And the thing is, I will fist fight every one of you. because that's how passionate I am
about your craft.
About my intentions. You know what I mean? Because if I was fucked up or foul, I'd have been like, yo, my bad. I did that wrong. But I can't stress enough. I did my research. This is what it says on your website.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to meet you where you are just to let you know that, yo, I'm rocking with what you're putting out. Because there's a lot of people who'd be like, I ain't humoring that shit. Like, Demi Lovato refers to themselves as them, and it's just, she's one person. And there's a lot of people be like, nah, nigga, you're Demi Lovato. However, I will meet you where you're at, because I asked you to call me head crack. So I get it. So, yes. Like, I will rock with this. So, for anybody else that's like, yo, you was trying to make fun of it. Fuck you, no, I wasn't.
Right.
I wasn't. And you could take a number, and I could stand at the end of a driveway, and we could, like, fist fight, smack it out, headbutt, whatever the hell we want to do. Because I'm telling you, I was trying to lead with love.
Yeah, and I felt that. I really did. I really did. If I didn't think you would lead with love, I would tell you, plus, happy Pride Month. Because it is June. Up.
Yeah.
Happy Pride Month to everybody. And he Pride, okay? Happy Pride Month. But I do want to ask you, we talked about music a little bit. I know you like Kehlani. Who do you think is really doing it good right now? Because if I'm being honest, I'm old. I'm an older set millennial. I'm a grandmama millennial. I feel like music, and maybe because I'm getting old.
Right.
But I feel like music is not, the longevity isn't there.
Yeah, no, the shelf life of a lot of songs that are hot seems very limited. This is some of the stuff that I don't want to listen to next week.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, less like a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Yeah, well, there's one song out right now that I won't even mention the artist because like maybe one day, like, you know, they'll be the biggest artist in the game. And it's not even about that, but it's just like, it sounds like two songs are playing at the same time, and it sounds like they recorded the song with no headphones on. Okay. This is a big song. And I'm like, yo, like,
I wonder if it's the same song that I don't like. We're not gonna say it here.
I want y'all to drop the name in the comments, though.
We're not gonna say it here.
Yo, like, when I first heard this song on the radio, I was like, yo, am I having a stroke? Like, is this happening? Like, it's like, yo, this is terrible. Whoa.
Does that impact you? Because this is what you do. Like, you are on the radio. No, you're hearing the music.
It's been like this, though.
Do you think so?
Yo, like, it's been like every decade.
Okay.
There's always been trash in hip hop.
I agree with that. I agree.
So, like, it's just the trash gets worse between point A and point B. Because there's a lot of amazing artists. Like, just as much, we may hear a lot of trash.
No doubt.
On the radio, but there's a gang of amazing artists, and they maybe don't all get a primetime slot. However, they're big in the festival scene. However, they're big, you know, on playlists, because like everybody's getting their music different than how it was. Where like, hey, if you're not hearing it on the radio or listening to 106 or watching 106 in Park or Rap City,
oh, I miss that.
Yeah, you know, I miss that those eras too, and. There's other ways to discover artists. So, like, if you're only getting your music from the radio, yeah, you're going to probably think
a lot. Radio is, despite what people saying, radio is dying, because I've heard that a lot, which I think people have been saying that since TV, since television. People have been saying that radio is dying. And yet, here it is. It's still here. But what I will say is that radio is big, though. Like, you need those radio plays and spins. It's important.
It is important because it gets you to a bigger audience.
Right.
But there's some people who have figured out the glitch in the matrix to where, like, yo, you don't necessarily need it. Because there's some artists who get plays on the radio who can't sell no albums. You know, like, look at what Coi Leray did. And she was on the radio. But even though she didn't sell a gang of records, she'd be on these festivals.
True. You
know, she does these shows. She goes on tour. People come. You know, so you have to figure out what kind of artist you are and what version of a platform serves your artistry best.
Okay.
Because some people may have cool songs and may have a cool album, but the live performances is what takes them up a notch. Like, as dope as Doja Cat is,
Don't mess with Doja, that's my girl.
Listen, as dope as Doja Cat is, the radio songs are great, but the fact that her live show is amazing
makes it better.
It brought both up a notch to where, like, she gets presented with more of these opportunities. So I feel like, you know, as an artist, you have to kind of be an all-terrain kind of individual. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you don't have to live and die whether or not your song is getting played on the biggest station in your city. Mm-hmm. But that people talk about your live show to the point to where if they know that you're in town, they're going to, like, miss a meal to come see you. And then also too, you have to, like, be involved in people's lives in other ways, whether that be social media or doing challenges for the fans, or you have some sort of community outreach thing. You know, you got to work multiple angles just to figure out what is that that's going to ultimately sustain you. Because even when you see guys like T-Pain talking about, like, make me famous again so, like, people will know that I'm not. Because there was a, I think I saw, he saw this TikTok the other day. They said he was somebody else. It's like,
Little Wayne, yeah. He
came And it's just like, wow. Like, that should never happen to a T-Pain because T-Pain's music never stopped being good.
It doesn't. It
never stopped being good. Like, even his new songs are great. But this business is so finicky that they will change the locks on you without a moment's notice.
It is a fickle business. But it is. I will say, as a person, you are a media, I will say, guru. You do social, you know, you're an artist yourself. You do so many different things. But, like, not to beat a dead horse, but even, like, when Kalani said that would be her last interview, do you think that artists don't need radio? Do they not need to do the media press runs on radio? Like, is it unnecessary now to get...
Depends on the type of artist you are. Like Beyonce doesn't do a lot of interviews, but that's mostly to protect Beyonce.
Made it though. What do you mean? Not. I'm in the Beehive. Got a play. No, my membership is bronze
too. But if you look at a lot of her interviews, they're usually under a controlled narrative, just so, like, you know, she don't get sandbagged with, like, the wrong questions. You know, like, some people do a great job of really trying to control their narrative. So, like. Okay. You know, because even too, like, sometimes you'll, like, we'll do an interview. Interview will be great. Everybody's laughing. High five. We'll get a call later from the label. Hey, the question about blah, blah, blah. Can you take that out? Or when she said such and such. Because sometimes artists give you too much. Willingly.
True. Willingly. True.
You know? And so some people need to be protected more than others. Future doesn't do a gang of interviews. He hates doing interviews.
I can see that.
So... You got to know who you are, because some people could come off less likable because of interviews.
That is true. That is very, very true. But I thought you was going somewhere else with Beyonce. I was like, I carry my card in my bosom. Do not talk about the queen.
Oh, love. Now, Beyonce's brand is just so strong. Even like, this has been something about Beyonce from the beginning. That we're like, everybody knew, like, all right, she's the one in the group. Da 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 da. She's going to be big. And they came out at a time where, like, okay, Destiny Child was doing interviews in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then once she got so big, she just didn't have to anymore.
But that's the thing. I think you do need the interviews until you get to, because she is not even just a music, like, she is an artist. She's an icon. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will never make it to that iconic status. One, I don't think music has the longevity anymore. I think that we are constantly looking for new artists. You're replaceable. No one has long-term music. As much as I love some of these, especially when I look at the female rappers, it makes me sad because it feels like their music has like a 10-day shelf life and then we're on to the next one.
Absolutely. I remember we would listen to an album for about a year and some change.
Yeah.
Like, nonstop. And now it's like, all right, what you got next? Like, right. I love the Kendrick Lamar album. I haven't listened to it in about a week.
Yeah.
You know, and I was running it into the ground when it dropped, but you know, because my time got a little crazy in the last couple weeks.
Well, you're boxing and fighting and working, and you got a lot going on.
Yeah, but you know, I would say for new artists, I think it is important to do that first round of interviews and do radio and stuff like that, because that's how people really truly get to know a little bit more about you. But there's some people who have carved such a niche for themselves to where they're so mysterious that sometimes is the superpower there as well. You know, even thinking back when I was a kid, even as an adult, like, I'm a big Sade fan.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing a lot of Sade interviews.
That's a great point.
And that's what kept her mysterious. And you always wanted to know more. You know what I mean? So I think you got to know who you are. You know, and what truly works for you. Because some people are so likable that, oh, you need to do all the interviews. Like Lil Nas X, likable dude.
Yes.
Do all the interviews. You know what I mean? And then Rich the Kid, don't do any interviews. Okay. None. Do none.
But it's because A&R is gone? Or do you think it's just a personality thing? Because they don't really get the development anymore.
Well, I think it's a mixture of both because, so here we are probably now about a generation and a half, maybe two generations in with these phones and tablets. People don't know how to talk anymore. People don't know how to, like, engage, go strike up a conversation with people in a public place. So we're creating a lot more socially awkward people who don't know how to have conversations one-on-one, but they can emote well through the music.
True.
You know, because a lot of artists, you know, we're weird, right? I consider myself an extroverted introvert.
I like that version.
I think it's the other way around. I'm an introverted extrovert. Yeah, like, I don't like going out. I don't like engaging with people until I'm out engaging with people. You know, like I get great anxiety about having to go deal with the world. Like, oh, man, like, well, people hate that I'm here. I don't know what's going on. But then when I go outside, I get so much love. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel better about everything that I'm doing. And it makes me feel like, oh, I'm doing the right thing. This is great. Why did I feel this way when I left the house? You know what I mean? So you got to figure that out, you know? But like what artists in, like, you know, this generation being so introverted and socially awkward, it does make it weird to have conversations with interviewers, because you'll have people literally like, why'd you ask me that?
Because
you rapped about it. It was in your song, track 7, the one where you said you're going to overdose twice. Like, I'm concerned about you, brother.
You know, should music imitate life, though? Because we see this with Young Thug.
Man,
now?
Yo, listen, I literally interviewed Kodak Black. Me and L'Oreal did, like, a couple months back. And it was painful to listen to his album. I am not a Kodak Black fan. Like, I mean, God bless everyone who's a Kodak Black fan. But, like, just for me, it's just like, I don't know. It makes my head hurt listening to him. It does, right? Okay. But I listened to the album. And there was, like, 2 songs back to back where he talked about he was afraid of overdosing. So I know that there's a lot of people that listen to, you know, the radio and listen to us and, like, who are, like, battling substance abuse. So, like, I felt like this would be a great time to, like, talk about, like, yo, like, how concerned are you really about, like, you know, like, your use of drugs? If you, because you mentioned, like, on 2 records back to back that you're afraid of overdose. When I say that,
it's like,
on your songs, you said them on your songs, like, you said it, like, to the point where I noticed it. It was probably one of the only intelligible things you said on the record, you know. And, like, it's kind of like, you didn't remember saying it. And I was like, well, damn, I guess those drugs are hitting differently then, huh? Okay. You know, and they just moved on. It was stressful. Like, I actually asked them to remove me from that interview, like, once the interview was done. Cause I was
gosh.
It's like, nigga, you're making me work too hard, man. And I put in too much hard work to have to work so hard.
So you think it should? Because I think that there should be some level of creativity, because then, like, now that you go back and listen to, like, Young Thug and Gunna, you like, and you know they use their lyrics in court, and that's a whole thing. Like, they've been fighting that. Should that be creative? Should they be able to have that license to make it up? Like, because if it's not real, we don't want to listen to it. But then when we find out it's real, then we like, I mean, what was y'all thinking?
I think you should have common sense. I've always been an advocate of, like, hey, listen, if you out here committing murders, you need to be rapping about dolphins.
Makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, and that whole thing about how lyrics shouldn't be used in court, I disagree.
I do too.
Because if there's reason to believe that the lyrics in question are directly talking about a murder, then yeah, we need to look into this. Ask the family of the people who got murdered how they feel about it.
Right. I agree with that. Because,
Like, man, if something happened to me or mine and the answer is in lyrics and you're telling me the lyrics are inadmissible because there's art, it's over a beat. You know, and then people try to take the, make the example like, well, movies is entertainment.
Right.
But yeah, but it's not a biopic. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially in drill music, a lot of the artists in drill music is like, yo, we slid on such and such on the corner of 15th and 12th.
Step-by-step instructions.
Yeah, this is like, yo, Officer Jenkins, do your job. It's all here. Right. Let's get these animals off the street.
How did they catch me? I just don't know.
Man, like, and listen, and I hate sounding like the old guy on the stoop, but at the end of the day, like, common sense is common sense. Wrong is wrong. You know, if you're truly doing these horrendous things that they're saying you're doing, you need to get the fuck up out of here.
True.
And I hope in the case of Young Thug and Gunna and all them, it's just all a misunderstanding.
It's a RICO charge. A RICO charge?
Oh, yeah. Now, they got all their T's, I's, and everything got it crossed by the time they...
That's a hard one to beat.
Yeah, it's not a parking ticket. They usually really have it together when they show up with RICO.
Yeah. Mm-mm, you don't want Rico is not your friend, and you don't want to be nowhere near him or her or they. You don't want nothing to do with it. Let's talk about you though, because you dropped some music recently. I think in 2020 in March, didn't you drop some music in March?
Yeah. So I did an A side B side single called Violence and For the Love. I got a new project coming out called Microdose. It's an EP. By the time this drops, the video for Violence will be out. Be sure you go to my YouTube channel and stream that up. But basically, it's just a celebration of the yin and yang, man. You can't have good without bad. You know, and everything that you can go out there and do in the world, do it all. But, you know, in reasonable dosages. You can't be happy all the time. You can't be angry all the time. And even in the plant-based space, there's so many things that we can do as humans that can improve our quality of life if done in small dosages. If you can exercise too much, you can exercise too little.
True.
You know, like I've been doing ayahuasca retreats.
Have you?
The last 2 years.
How was that?
It is single-handedly been one of the greatest life-changing things I've ever experienced.
Did you vomit and stuff? Like
you definitely will vomit. Uptown or downtown, something's gonna happen. And
I don't want to shit and get a realization at the same, like, I just don't
everybody want that. Made it to the bathroom. No one did it on themselves, and if they did, they didn't tell us. You know, like, I made it to the bathroom safely every time, every single time. But
what did you learn? What was your realization?
That what we're going through right now in this like physical existence, this is all the pregame, and nobody should be afraid of death. Death is the most magnificent thing that will ever happen to us. Anybody that we lost that we're like crying about and that we're upset about that they're no longer here, like, we're the ones who should be felt sorry for.
Okay.
Like, the process of death is one of the most beautiful things.
Okay. And, didn't you say something like that about your mom?
Yeah, like, that was one of the things that I learned, like, during the pandemic, because, like, and not the pandemic, during my first ayahuasca retreat, because I wanted to know what it felt like for my mom and my grandmother to pass. And God showed me that.
Okay.
And it made me totally at peace.
Okay.
Because I was obsessed with just grief and guilt. And, you know.
Yeah, I lost my mom as well. That's a hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, it hurts. It's a void that never really properly can get filled. And I was just crippled by grief. You know, because like before my mom passed, like my grandmother passing was the worst thing that ever happened to me. Because my grandmother was my other mother, you know, and always made sure I was taken care of, you know. So losing her was just a tremendous blow. And then losing my mom, especially like so young and so suddenly, it was just like I wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I really couldn't like move forward in life until I knew they were okay and they're fine.
Okay.
We're the ones suffering.
Yeah, we see it every day with all of the constant mass shootings. We just had one yesterday, I think, in Iowa.
Man, like, listen, man, like, unless somebody hits reset on the whole government, we're going to continue to have the same problems we're having.
You really think they're going to reset it?
No, like, the only thing that could really reset it is a terrible war or a overthrow of power. And no one really wants that level of revolution because we're happy, you know, like.
That's true.
You know, like, people want change, but they don't want to go through the pains that it takes for change. Like, it has to get uncomfortable for a unforeseeable amount of time in order for true change to really be instilled, you know?
Yeah, you can't ball out in the middle of a revolution. Like, it just, you can't drop stacks at the club.
Yo, this is where you're supposed to be hoarding all your little acorns like the chipmunks or the squirrels do and lay low and just see what's going to happen. And, you know, and a lot of people live in check to check. So, you know, like, they're not even, a lot of people aren't even financially prepared for the type of reset that would have to happen. Like, I mean, even when you look at, as terrible as war is, right? When we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, we reset that. Like, it was terrible.
It was terrible, though.
It was awful.
For years and years and years.
Yeah, but look how tremendously they bounced back. And not saying that something like that needs to happen here in the States.
Right, right.
But there's so much government restructuring that needs to be done. This whole two-party system that we deal with is trash.
Agreed.
I saw somebody say something so brilliant on, I think it was Twitter. They said, all the politicians should have jackets that have the logos of all the people that are in their pockets. Like the NASCAR. Yeah.
Like Jack NASCAR. Jack.
So we can know what's up. Because, like, you know, going back to what you were saying about the shooting, man, the NRA is so far up the government's ass.
Yeah.
That, like, the answer for the longest time has been ban certain types of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, we don't. And there's a compromise there.
Do you agree with that? Because Canada did that, where they're banning handguns temporarily. Do you think that America should ban guns, all guns? Or you just mean like AR-15s?
Like all of those Call of Duty quality guns, all those G.I. Joe ass guns, like a handgun, that's fine. And if anybody's quick to hop up and be like, but yo, we use the AR-15 for hunting.
Yeah.
If you're hunting a deer with an AR-15, you're a pussy, okay? Get a bow and arrow like the fucking Indians did.
That's what I said.
And let's get it popping. Like, that's not hunting. That's not hunting. You're hunting a nonviolent animal with an assault rifle. That is not hunting.
Right.
If you really want to be gully about it, get a knife and a bow and arrow and get it cracking.
But we're too fat as Americans. We couldn't do it.
We're so far removed. We want everything easy. There's still people out there fishing with dynamite. That's not hunting either. They're not fishing.
It's not murder.
Yeah. Like, it's so crazy. Remove these. Because even when you look at the thing that happened in Uvalde, some of the cops was like, I don't want to go in there because we don't have the firepower. So why should a civilian have more firepower than the police?
It's crazy. And then they want teachers. Now they want teachers to be packing. I don't know. I don't want that. I don't want to be a teacher and carry, like, you got to be the social worker, a police officer, security, and you got to teach these badass kids. No.
Yeah, like, you're going to have to, like, quadruple their salary. I mean, but we already ask a lot of our teachers, and I think, you know, we ask a lot of our kids, you know, and as a child, you should be able to go to school and know you won't be shot.
Agreed.
And you should know your lunch is going to be hitting, too.
That, too, because these lunches are... I feel like they were better than they are now.
Yo, I went to lunch with my kid one day and I was like, what is this? It was like, it was so unbalanced. It was like carb, 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 snack, dessert. Eat your pizza so you can have your cake.
Right. Yeah, do some. Them square pizzas got us poor kids through, and this is why we are here today.
What was your favorite, like, school lunch thing?
To me, had to be the pepperoni. Well, the pepperoni pizza. At one point, they stopped being square, and then they started giving us the slices. I don't know if y'all had them.
We had the rectangle or square pizzas, but you had pepperoni. Y'all fancy.
Yeah, we had pepperoni, and they turned them into slices, or not the square, the triangle joints, mm-hmm. like the actual slices.
It wasn't the same.
It wasn't the same. They changed the game on us, and it had pepperoni on it. They didn't give y'all pepperonis?
Nah, like I had
just the rectangle with cheese.
They would either do the sausage or hamburger pizza.
I never had cheese. That.
Yeah, like because like I did some school in New York, did some school in Texas, private school.
Private was better.
Yeah, in private school we had like the French bread pizzas.
See, and that ain't fair.
It was different.
That's not fair.
I preferred the rectangle pizzas, personally.
Really?
However,
let's be honest, them rectangle pizzas were never truly done. That dough it was the extra dough.
It was a little chewy. Yeah. A little chewy there. But the so when I moved to Texas, did they do chicken fried steak at your school?
No.
So let me tell you something. So when I'm going to school in Texas, they would give us chicken fried steak. And I'm like, what? Is chicken fried steak. Why would you fry steak like chicken? Ew. I waited till my senior year to finally try it. And when I finally tried it, it was amazing. And I was mad at myself because I could have been eating chicken fried steak every Thursday. And it came with this roll, and I would open a roll. I put the chicken fried steak into, like, because like you would need two rolls to really put the whole chicken fried steak in there. So I would always buy an extra roll at that point. And, yo, I was smashing the chicken fried steak. It was so good. It was so good.
We didn't have that. Now, we did have Thanksgiving dinner. They would give you the turkey with the gravy and the mashed potatoes. But we didn't have that. See? Maryland, Baltimore, we lucky we had that. Like, I can't even.
Man, like, you know, it's weird how, like, things just be different regionally. Like, yeah. The fact that, like, y'all never had chicken fried steak, and the chicken fried steak was, like, a food chain staple in the South. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, yeah, they definitely going to throw pizza at you above the Mason-Dixon line. Like, yo, a place where they won the Civil War, like, they're giving you, like, multiple types of pizza.
Right. And shout out to all the reduced lunch. That got me through.
Oh, reduced lunch was clutch. Like, I had reduced or free lunch most of my school career.
Me too. And it got us through.
That's the least they can do. Because, like, you know, for each student that shows up every day, the school got a lot of money.
They do.
You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like it's not much to ask for them to feed the children.
Well, used to give you peanut butter and jelly sandwiches if you couldn't afford it. But now you can't eat. I was like, when did this happen? When you can't even bring a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in a school.
Yeah, like, we've gotten weird as a society. And I understand that there's some people who will explode if a peanut is anywhere near them. And it's just like, where were y'all in the 80s?
I don't know. But, it didn't exist.
Because no one ever exploded around me. Or like never.
Or had it. Did you ever meet anybody with a peanut allergy as a kid?
I have now as an adult, but it's like, how did you survive the 80s? Because I didn't go to school with you. Like, no one stopped me from eating anything, you know, but yet you're here. And now, you know, but, you know, with that being said, nobody should be eating peanuts anyway. Like, peanuts are actually terrible for you.
Are they really?
Yo, man, we are so misinformed about so many things. And of all people, the person who put me onto that path of, like, peanut enlightenment, Marlon Wayans.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, you know, one day I was like eating some peanut butter crackers, and he came into the studio for an interview, and I was like, yo, you want crackers? He's like, hell no, you want to die? And I'm like, yo, what do you mean? Like, yo, peanut butter is terrible for you. And I started looking it up, because peanuts are actually a fungus, right? Mm. And, I mean, it's not like you'll die immediately if you eat peanuts, right, but it's not, like, a lot of things, people think that they're healthy for us, and they're not really healthy. Your body doesn't break it down. That's why... On the downtown side of things, a lot of times peanuts still be intact.
Oh, you're right.
You know what I mean? Same thing with corn. Like, your body doesn't really truly break that down all the way.
You're right. You be like, it's been a whole day. It's still there. Like,
I thought I chewed that one. Why is it a whole again? I don't understand. But you know, cashew butter. You know, all that stuff is a little more expensive. Almond. And the consistency is different. But
I do eat almonds. I do like cashew butter. But George, well, we got to eat it for George Washington Carver. You know, I mean, we got to do it for him.
I know. And, like, I used to be a peanut guy. I just shovel so many peanuts in my mouth thinking I was eating something healthy. But two, also even understanding portion control. True. Because I'm like, I'm eating trail mix. So I could eat 9 fistfuls full of it. Little did you know, you just ate 3,000 calories worth of trail mix.
Right. Like, why am I gaining weight?
And these are all things that I was still learning 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're figuring it out. So you never stop learning on how to, like, take care of yourself and live longer.
I agree with that. Now, let's make a prediction.
Okay.
So this is going to be coming out on the 20th. You are going to win. How many? Is this an exhibition?
It's 3 rounds, 3 1-minute rounds.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm predicting it's going to go to distance. I think it's really hard to knock somebody out in 3 minutes unless they're either super unskilled.
Okay.
Or, you know, or one of them people wasn't supposed to be in there. Okay. And, you know, and clearly he's an athlete.
Right.
I've been working really hard in the gym. Like, I mean, getting hit hard, taking shots. Okay. Giving shots back.
Okay.
So I definitely think, you know, the give and take is going to be there. So I think it's going to go to distance. It's about really who can land more, you know, clean shots between point A and point B, to be honest with you.
Okay. So maybe KO, maybe third round?
Yo, like, listen, if he's coming at me hard in the third round, I'm coming back hard at him too, because I ain't no punk.
And okay.
At the end of the day, you know, yo, hit me, I'm going to hit you back, and I'm going to hit you back hard, I promise.
Okay. Now, also, who do you predict? Because I think Black China, and she's going to be there. Hey, yo,
I like how Black China's looking in training. I got a chance to talk to her at the face-off about a couple weeks back. She focused. She was in there training with Zab Judah over there in L.A.
Okay.
So, like, I definitely, I like Black China for her situation. I'm going with my boy Cisco Rosado in his fight.
Okay.
If Benzino made it out of jail in time, I'm gonna go with Benzino.
Okay.
In his situation, because he got that old man strength.
Okay. he is very like built, like
groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons. It's weird. Like you'd expect it to be like cut like that, but like lo and behold.
Right. Okay. And do you think that? So I know is Omarosa's the commentator. And...
Yeah, she's coming through to commentate. Like I think she's too elegant to fight.
Yeah. You not Omarosa. Like not, no.
I know a lot of people want to fight Omarosa, but. Those people don't know Omarosa. Like
I see her, she was very nice.
Omarosa's awesome. Like the person you see, it's a going back to Kevin Samuels conversation.
Okay.
Some people know how to play the game. And as it related to reality TV, Omarosa knew how to play that game.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
With Trump.
Yeah. So but like in real life, man, Omarosa is a class act, sweet lady, like the opposite of what you would expect.
Yeah, I think she knew, someone knew her and Michael Clark Duncan, and they actually allowed them to sleep on their sofa and everything while they was getting their footing. And how, like, I heard they were really, really, she's a really nice woman, actually.
Yeah.
Despite what people have been told. And then Flavor Flav is going to be the announcer, and you got Rashid Evans as the celebrity referee.
Yeah, Rashid Evans, man, you know, UFC legend, Flavor Flav, public enemy, you know what I mean? Like, and I saw him do the ring announcing stuff at the fight they did back in March, and he's good man. Like celebrity boxing is going to be around for a while, you know what I mean? I think they finally have gotten all the great pieces in place that's making it its own thing, and if they can keep, you know, building on the design, man, I think this thing will be here for, you know, 20-30 more years.
Okay, I like it. So we've got his predictions, and where can people go to get your music? Because we didn't talk about the Bodega Brothers, though. Listen,
Bodega Brothers, we just did a show that we curated ourselves in Dallas about 2 weeks ago, and it is so fun and so great to see people still rocking with the brand, even though like our output isn't as rapid as we would always like it to be. But Bodega Brothers dropped a single called Rampage, I think back in April. Okay. That video's up right now. You can type in Bodega Brothers, Bodega Rampage. That'll come right up. We got some new Bodega music coming down the pipeline. My music is available at Spotify, Tidal, iTunes, wherever you're stealing your music from. HEADKRACK. And yo, tap in, because these next two singles from Microdose are going to be great.
Okay.
They feel good, and they just in time for the summer, too.
I like it. And then, of course, you can find him each and every morning on the Morning Hustle. And you got to know where you at. Depending on where you at, it's going to change the station. But make sure you listen to them on the Morning Hustle. I know I do. I can't wait to hear your music and see everything that you're doing. And I'm going to be rooting for you. I'm going to be watching you. You got to do it right.
Got to do it right. Like, I don't want to let anybody down. So
okay.
I am here to, just say thank you for everybody who believed in me. Everybody who supported me. And listen, I'm not here to let you down, man. I'm here to bring the culture up.
All right. Future celebrity champ. I'm a heavyweight. Did they say a heavyweight? I wish you'd be a heavyweight.
I'm heavyweight. Because right now I'm probably 212 right now.
Are you really?
Yeah, but like when I started training for this fight, I was like 235.
Really?
Yeah, like I dropped tremendous weight. Like, you know, just getting out there, jumping rope, shadow boxing, sparring the whole nine.
You really look like you can kick somebody's ass. So I know you can do it, and I can't wait to see it.
I am ready to kick some ass.
The nicest guy, though.
Yeah, like the beauty of boxing, and even like the other day, like I sparred with a guy, and it was my first time sparring with him. It was like punching a radiator. This guy is like really solid, man, and he hit me with some amazing shots, man. Like probably like the hardest punches I've taken in sparring. And just like you get such a respect. Not only the craft, but the people that participate in it. We was talking for like 10, 15 minutes, like after sparring, man. Like, yo, man, will you hit me with this? Like, man, that was crazy. You know, it's just people trying to improve each other. You know what I mean? And it's a gentleman's sport. So you can't really necessarily go into it with like a Viking. I mean, you can go into it with a Viking mentality, but it's more of a mental game than it is a
physical.
Right. You know, because like sometimes your emotions can make you lose the fight.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so at the end of the day, you are a man. I am a man. And we're going to punch each other.
Yeah.
And one person's going to be able to take more punches than the other person. The end. You can growl at me. You can show me your teeth. You can do all this little cuckoo shit. But at the end of the day, I understand it's theatrics. You know what I mean? And none of that shit's going to scare me because, like, you wouldn't do the shit outside of the ring. You wouldn't bark at a person outside. None of those theatrics would move me. If I saw a man barking, like, walking down the street, I'm going to go the other way or call the police.
Yeah, you're not going to. Don't engage. If that's a warning, kids. If somebody's barking in real life, and call 911.
And I don't even know if you should do that because the cop's going to shoot them. True. So just,
walk away.
Just leave them alone.
Yeah, walk away. Run real fast. Maybe not walk. Maybe just run real fast. But you can come back anytime you want. I absolutely love every time I speak to you. You are so genuine and so nice. I said that the first time I met you, and I'm saying it now. You're so awesome.
Well, thank you for the love. This has been a fun interview. And I don't tell me to come back, because I will.
Oh, no. I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to hold you to it, because after you... I gotta talk to you. Win, lose, or draw.
I'm here for all the conversation. You know, if I lose, guess what? I fought a UFC fighter. I'm on the radio.
Right?
I'm on the radio.
It's really a win. Now that you think about it, it's really a win-win. You actually can't lose.
I mean, at the end of the day, man, like, you know, somebody from LA gonna be like, yo, that nigga head crack a heart.
Right.
He got a lot of heart.
Right.
A lot of people don't have the heart to do what he did.
You can't lose. It's win-win, because like you said, look.
Yo, if I knock him out, wow, the guy from Dish Nation like knocked out Kimbo Slice Jr. But here's the thing. They let Jake Paul learn how, like, Jake Paul figured out how to fight on the way. You know?
True.
Because at first it's like, yo, this YouTube guy, right?
Right.
But no, this YouTube guy took it very seriously, trained nonstop, and continued to train. And now he's an actual fighter.
True, but he has been fighting, like, you know, retired basketball players, and it's not really like...
But that was the testing ground, because in order to fight those retired basketball players... Well, Floyd fought Logan Paul.
Logan.
So that was different, and that was just a money grab. Okay. Floyd could have beat Logan Paul anytime he wanted to, but it was an exhibition. And that's why you got to look at the fine print. When it's an exhibition...
Well, he was saying he was beating his ass, so...
Who, Logan said he was
beating Logan said he won, you know, so...
And that's what Logan is supposed to say, but Logan definitely didn't win that fight. I watched it. I feel like you did, too. Logan didn't win that fight. Like, Floyd allowed him to survive so people could get their money's worth. Because at the end of the day, people wanted to see a show. But... Okay. Jake Paul, he's a boxer now.
Okay.
And he had to fight some football players. And, like, you know, and the MMA guy he beat up, I mean, the MMA guy had every right to be there.
Okay.
But Jake has been putting in more work and training, and he has the physicality for it. Like, okay. I wouldn't fight Jake Paul.
You would not. No, I'm gonna let you go. I promise I am. But
no.
Is there somebody that you wouldn't, like, if they came to you and they were like, this is the person that you're fighting, like, we're gonna have you fight Mike Tyson, would you say yes or would you say hell no? Like, are there people that you were like, mm-mm.
I would fight Mike Tyson in an exhibition.
Really?
Because in an exhibition, Mike isn't really trying to kill me.
You don't think so?
No, it's different. Because the exhibition is like, hey, we're going to fight and we're just going to keep everybody alive for the duration of the fight. Because if you notice, in exhibition matches, people typically don't get knocked out in exhibition matches because it's a show. We're going to do a display of boxing, what would happen if Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali fought, that kind of thing, right? So, and
did you watch the Roy Wood Jr. when he was boxing?
Roy Wood Jr. That would be wild if comedian Roy Wood Jr.
you
not Mike Tyson. That'd be wild.
No,
but I did watch Roy Jones and Mike
Roy
Tyson.
Jones,
and Mike was rocking Roy, and then if
he said it hurt though.
Yeah, but Mike was keeping Roy up. Because Roy was taking some shots, and Mike could have finished Roy if he wanted to, but he didn't want to do that to him because it's an exhibition. It's like, hey, we're both going to come out of this.
But he's also 53, 54. Man, up there? Do you think Mike still got the power?
Oh, hell yeah. Like, that muscle memory never goes anywhere. Like, the ability to throw a punch. I've watched him, like, even now, like, just, like, you know, just do some displays, just showing people how to throw punches. And I wouldn't want to take none of that in a real...
So,
he beat the man up on the plane gently.
He did. And he be taunting. He taunts people. Look at the ears he has on his cannabis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Holy Spirit ears. Yo, he could have beat that guy on the plane into pudding. And he gently beat him up. You know, just let him
know. That's what gentle is, I guess. I mean, that looked like that hurt. Yeah, that shit hurt. I know it hurt.
The difference between, like, you know, like doing an exhibition and doing like a real fight with somebody else is like, it requires a lot of time, and and I only have so much time. So somebody like a Jake Paul, who all they do is like TikToks and YouTubes, and can spend the rest of their day training.
You don't want that.
Yeah, like I get in the gym 4 days a week if I'm lucky.
Okay,
you know what I mean. So you have to be able to put that much into the craft, because even like preparing for the fight, like I haven't really been doing all the music that I'm releasing is music that I completed before I started this.
Okay.
So, like, I had to take time off from everything. I haven't been acting or, like, actively pursuing auditions. I've even, like, scaled back the amount of, like, you know, people that I want to interview, because it requires time and effort and, like, a little bit of woosah space in your head, too, to, you know, to do it all. So, I would, like, if I fought somebody again, it would have to be somebody who's as equally encumbered as I am. You know, because even coming into this, I wanted to fight another radio guy.
I was going to ask you that. Like, would you fight DL or like
DL
maybe
is way older than
a podcaster? Maybe like Joe Budden? Like maybe if
I would do Joe Budden. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Because Joe's crazy. So like that would be a good fight. Like, and I feel like Joe would put in the work in the gym to make it interesting. You know,
somebody make that happen.
Yeah, no, that'd be good, because like Joe's a maniac, and I think Joe would be good. In the ring. Joe would probably be like, "Yo, I want to do MMA though," you know, like, and that's why I step out. Like, you don't do MMA.
You're not kicking people.
You're not kicking me in the head, no. And there's a different level of cardio that goes into MMA. I have the cardio for what I'm doing now.
Okay. All right, I got you. I feel you. Dude. But I could see that. And I want you to come back, because now we have to talk about the after and what had happened. Either way, like I said, you're a champ. Either way,
lose or draw, awesome. I'm here for you, love.
All right. One day I'm gonna come to Atlanta, and you gotta have lunch. You gotta have lunch. All right.
I know all the food places. I got you.
I know they say y'all rough like we're rough here in Baltimore.
I feel like the biggest threat to the city of Atlanta is like the water boys.
Okay. Okay. You're not really talking about the people that hand out
water. They're very aggressive. Very aggressive. Okay. You get caught in a light and like, and you hold up your bottle of water and be like, how come you don't support my dream? I'm like, goddamn. I don't got no cash. You can sell me. Fuck.
Like, you ain't seen shit yet till you see the squeegee boys that we have.
I'm from New York, man. We made like, yo, the squeegee people would make your car dirtier than it was before you ran into the squeegee people.
Right? Like, why are you doing this to me?
Like, damn, now I gotta go to a real car wash. Thanks.
And they're mad aggressive. They are angry.
Yeah, no, we don't have the squeegee people, but yo, I would gladly do a foreign exchange student program where we send the water boys of Atlanta to Baltimore. Let us hold just squeegee people for a summer and let's see who had it worse to begin with.
I like that. I like that idea. Maybe that's what we can do, because we got a problem here. We'll figure it out.
As we always do. We always will figure it out.
Yeah, and if you, like I said, just call me. If you ever need a guest host, I'm here. Let me know.
Noted. And right. I love your energy and continued success on everything you're doing.
Thank you.
And yo, you have an amazing line of questioning. And yeah, man, this didn't even feel like an interview as much as it felt like a conversation. So thank you for your time.
Oh, that's what I try to do. Well, I'm not going to hold you anymore, because I know you're busy. You got to go knock somebody out. So I appreciate you. Come back anytime.
I'll be back.